Okay, Vedanta Sara, verse 35. Verse 25 in the book. So repeat after me. Idam Ajnanam.
Idam Ajnanam.
Samashti.
Samashti.
Vyashti.
Vyashti.
Abhiprayena.
Abhiprayena.
Ekam.
Ekam.
Anekam.
Anekam.
Iti.
Iti.
Cha.
Cha.
Vyavakriyate.
Vyavakriyate.
So idam Ajnanam. Samashti. Vyashti. Abhiprayena. Ekam. Anekam. Iti. Cha. Vyavakriyate. Idam Ajnanam, this Ajnanam, right? Because remember we just did a definition of Ajnanam, Asadasadhyamani, Vachaniyam, etc. from verse 34. So this Ajnanam that has just been previously defined in verse 34, it is some, these are really important terms now. Sameshti Vyashti Abhiprayena. Abhipraya means the intended meaning, or we can also, in the instrumental, you can just take it as with reference to. So here we're going to take abhiprayena as the instrumental, or almost adverbial, but just, not adverbial exactly, but with reference to, okay? With reference to the samashti and the vyashti. So these two terms Swamiji uses all the time. Samashti means the collective, the aggregate of something, like, for instance, samashti, an example that's often used is if you have an aggregate of trees, the samashti would be the forest. The forest is composed of many trees. All of the trees are more or less the same, right? So those are the individuals, the vyashti. So the individuals of an aggregate are called vyashti. The aggregate itself, the collective, is called samashti. So the Maya Upadhi is the samashti.
Mm-hmm.
The jiva is the vyashti, the individual. Okay. So samashti, vyashti. So here it says, this ajnanam, idam ajnanam, with reference to the aggregate and the individual, the collective and the individual, samashti, vyashti, abhiprayena, ekam, anekam iti. Ekam means one, anekam means many. So we can say there's one ajnanam, or there are many ajnanams. And we'll get into that in a minute, but let's just get the Sanskrit first. You can say there's ekam ajnanam, or aneka, one ajnanam, or many ajnanams. Whether you're talking in reference to the samashti, the total, or you're talking the total, which would be the whole Maya Upadhi, right? Or you're talking about the ajnanam that is manifest as each individual jiva. Mm-hmm. So there's ekam, anekam, cha, te iti, cha, vyavahriyate. Vyavahara, vyavahriyate, vyavahriyate, it comes from, you know when we say vyavahara, mm-hmm. empirical transactional reality? So here it's just saying whether you're talking about it, whether you're using the term, right?
Yeah.
Whether, so that's the vyavahara here. Whether this term, this ajnanam, is being used in reference to it, in reference to the samashti or the vyashti, it becomes, it is either ekam or anekam. So there's one ajnanam or many ajnanams. So you can just say with the vyavahriyate, it is said, right? Or it is being used as. So it is being referred to as ekam or anekam.
And which one is which? The one is the vyashti and the many
No. Like for instance, I can say there's one ajnanam, that's the Maya Upadhi.
Yes.
The one ajnanam manifests as the entire creation. That's the Ishvara, right? So ajnanam is used synonymously, in fact, with Maya. Right? And so the Brahman plus the ajnanam, the samashti ajnanam, is the Maya Upadhi. Or, and we'll see a specific example, a Laukika example for this, worldly example for this. The samashti would be the forest, the vyashti would be the tree. Here the samashti is the total ajnanam, the vyashti is all each individual ajnanam, which will be in the form of the jiva. So, This ajnanam is said to be one or many. Okay, it's said to be one or many, with reference to whether, you know, with reference to, it's one going to be one, with reference to the samashti, it'll be many, with reference to the vyashti, samashti and vyashti.
Verse 35.
So let's see if we see idam ajnanam samashti vyashti abhiprayena ekam anekam iti cha javahiyate. So it's really the and this ajnanam, with reference to the samashti and vyashti, is said to be, right, one or many. It's called either ekam or anekam. One is with reference to the samashti, the total aggregate, and aneka, not one. Eka, one, aneka, not one. So we use aneka means many. So eka, aneka, two important words. Samashti, vyashti. So you'll often hear Swamiji say, the Samashti Upadhi. Samashti Upadhi is the Maya Upadhi, it's the Ishwara Upadhi. Vyashti, the Vyashti Upadhi, is the Jiva Upadhi, the individual Upadhi. Right? So Samashti, Vyashti. You have to memorize those words.
But the nature of the ignorance between the one and the many is different, right?
It's the same as Jnana, but from the Ishwara, from the standpoint of the collective, there's not, you're not identified with anything within. You're not a part to the whole. And so the difference is that you're not, the Ishwara is not subject to the Ajnanam. Whereas every Jiva is subject to the Ajnanam. And that's why in reference to Ishwara we use this Maya Upadhi. But the Maya Upadhi from the standpoint of the Jiva is Ajnanam. Right? So you can talk about Ajnanam as the collective, which Ishwara has that Ajnanam in his hands. Right? Maya Upadhi. But then every one of the Jivas that's within, that it is a part to the whole. One, you know, instead of being the whole aggregate, it's an individual member of the aggregate within the Maya Upadhi. And that is subject to to the Ajnanam. And so the Ajnanam is acting as avarana, as a covering. Ajnanam covers the Jiva. You know, it projects the Jiva, it projects, it's, the Maya Upadhi projects the whole creation. But from the standpoint of the Jiva, not only is the Jiva projected, but it's also the Maya is acting as an avarna, as a covering, because you don't know yourself. Ishwara doesn't have a problem of, is not subject to the Ajnanam. That's the difference. Jiva is subject to the Ajnanam, kind of on the other side of the Ajnanam, right? Where Ishwara has the Ajnanam as a capacity, the Maya Shakti.
So there's a projection there, but there's not a covering.
That's right. Because it's the total Maya. Has the Samashti is the total Maya, so not identified with a part. But if you're a part of the projection, then that Vikshepa now is acting as a covering for you. And you also have the Vikshepa capacity, as we talked about last week. Right? Okay? So, idam ajnanam samashti vyashti abhiprayena ekam anekam iti cha javahiyate. Path of Javahiyate, it is said to be, or it is used as, you know, it's referred to as. Everybody okay with this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how it says here, you know, underneath the verse, it says that one thing, I don't know what you call those things. See that one. And then it says there is one unborn and so forth. What does that mean?
Oh, it's referring to a verse in the Shweta Upanishad, which I'm going to refer to in a little bit, and I'll talk about it in the next
okay,
verse.
Thank okay. you.
Okay, so let's go on and see how they define samashti and vyashti. Tathahi. Yatha vrikshanam samashti abhiprayena vanam iti ekatva vyapadeshaha. Let's translate that for us. Tathahi can just mean as, for instance. giving a sample, it's giving an example. So tatahi, as for instance, yata, just as, vrikshanam, vriksha means trees, genitive plural, vrikshanam, of the trees, sameshti abhiprayena, in reference to, right, with reference to the collective, the aggregate of trees, vrikshanam, sameshti is the total, the whole, right, the whole aggregate of trees, abhiprayena, with reference to the whole aggregate of trees, vanam iti ekatva vyapadeshaha. Vanam means forest. Forest iti, the word forest. Okay? Ekatva vyapadeshaha. There is a designation of ekatva. Vyapadeshaha means there is a designation of oneness in the form of vanam. Because sameshti is the whole aggregate. So there's one whole here that we call, there's one whole, the ekatva. Vanam is one whole that is composed of many parts, right? And so just as with reference to the sameshti, the whole aggregate of trees, there is the designation of one thing, ekatva, of it being one. Literally, there is the designation of it being one, mm-hmm. as forced.
And is it full aspects used because it's a definition that
can no, of oneness. There's a, you would say, this is a good translation. There's a vyapadesha, there is the designation of it being one.
Oneness.
Yeah, of it being one. Mm-hmm. Vanam iti, as forest. There's the designation of it being one as vanam. Vanam iti. Right? Vanam is that designation. There is one forest there. That's the sameshti. There is one Ishwara, that's the mm-hmm. sameshti, mm-hmm. right? So the designation of oneness is given when we're talking about the sameshti, the whole aggregate that is made of many different parts. So the aggregate, vanam, is made of many different similars. Here's similar things, trees. Many trees make for one forest. Okay. So tatahi, just as, tatahi, as for instance, yata, just as, with reference to the collective of trees, the aggregate of trees, the total whole aggregate of trees, there is the vyapadesha, the designation of one of it being one, as vanam iti, forest iti. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So you could ask me, yathava, jalanam, sameshti abhiprayena, jalashyaha iti. So yatava or va or yata just as jalanam. Jala means water. So of the waters, jalanam, sameshti abhiprayena, with reference to the aggregate of waters, drops of water, you know, like every little drop of water. So with reference to the sameshti of the waters, jalashyaha. Jalashya means a reservoir of water. Jala is water. Ashya is like a reservoir or a body of water. So you can just say like a reservoir of water. So just as a reservoir, just as for the water, just as with reference to the sameshti of the waters, there's jalashya, a reservoir. Iti. Okay? Jalashya. Ashaha means just a body or an abode, or it means a reservoir also. So a reservoir of water, there's one body of water. You could say like a lake or an ocean also, mm-hmm. you know. Everybody see this? This mm-hmm. So this is all defining this mission. Tata, similarly, so repeat after me. Nanatvena.
Nanatvena.
Pratibhasamananam. Jiva gata avyananam.
Jiva gata avyananam.
Sameshti abhiprayena.
Sameshti abhiprayena.
Tad ekatva.
Tad ekatva.
Vyapadeshaha.
Vyapadeshaha.
Ajam ekam.
Ajam ekam.
Ityadi shrutehe.
It's
okay. tata. So they did yata, remember yata, tata, just as, and just as blah blah blah, just as the forest and the, you know, just as the forest, just as, or just as the reservoir. They're giving examples of the samishti. Tata, similarly, okay? Nana twena just means being manifold. So just keep that in mind. Nana means many, diverse, manifold. That twena by being as manifold, by being manifold. But let's see it in the context. Pratibhasamananam, genitive plural from pratibhasamana, that which is reflecting or manifesting as. Pratibhasamana, appearing as. Appearing, reflecting, manifesting itself as. So you could say that which is appearing as many, nanat twena, pratibhasamananam. Jiva gata ajnananam. Of the genitive, of the ajnana, of the ignorance, which is gata. You have to this using gata of the ajnana, of the ajnanas, of the ignorances, which are existing in the jivas. Jiva gata. That gata means the ajnana that is found, that is placed there in the jivas. Please just say the ajnana that is there in the jiva.
Mm-hmm.
Gata. Gata.
I thought that was pot.
That's gata. Gata. It's pot.
Gata. Not from go, gum.
Yeah, it is. Which has gone into. But you say.
Oh, it's a PPP?
Yeah, but it's used like that which is found in, that which is existing in.
Okay.
Literally, it's that which has gone into, but doesn't work in English in terms of meaning.
Right.
So, of the ignorances, for now, which are existing, which are found there in the jivas, in the jivas, which are appearing as many, to be many. Right? Because each chanta, because of the ahankara. Right? So now this is the idea here. Every jiva has their own ajnanam. Right? Because every jiva has its own self-ignorance. There's only one self, there's only one atma, but there are many minds. In this aggregate, there are many, many jivas. Each mind, each jiva is subject to its own ajnanam, because otherwise, when one jiva gets liberated, they would all get liberated, right? And so the ajnanam is from the standpoint, now it's vritti ajnanam, right? Because each mind, which is part of Ishwara's vikshepa, is subject to ajnanam because it's limited, right? The antakaranas are all limited, so subject to the ajnanam, right? The vikshepa becomes the cause of the avarna, the projection becomes the cause of the avarna. So now this mind has ajnanam because of its very existence. It has ajnanam because it's limited. And so that individual ajnanam has to be removed. And when it's removed, then the jiva recognizes, right? In fact, there is no jiva. I am Brahman. I've never been a jiva. I've always been Brahman. The jiva twin is mithya, in fact. Right? Jiva twin is there. It's mithya, just like all of this is there, but it has no reality. I've never at any time been a jiva. I've always only been Brahman. So, here what it says is, Sameshti Abhiprayena, okay, with reference to the Sameshti, right, the collection of the individual, of the Ajnanas, with reference to the Sameshti, of the Ajnanas, of the ignorances, which are in the Jivas, in the Jiva, which are giving the appearance of manyness. Tad ekatva vyapadeshaha. There is a designation of oneness for that. One ajnana. When you take the whole collective ajnana, which is existing individually in each one of the jivas, when you take it collectively, then there is only one ajnana. Swamiji doesn't like the way he does this very much. But.
So what's the point there?
it's not bad when we get all the way through it. The point is that if you look at, just as if you look at the aggregate of all of the trees, like for instance, see where they say Vrikshanam of all of the trees, then Jalanam of all of the waters. If you take the aggregate of them, you have the Samishti. If you take the aggregate of all of the jivas, you have the Samishti. So that's just like if you take the aggregate of all of the trees, you have the forest, you have the Samishti. If you take the aggregate of all of the waters, you have the reservoir, you have the Samishti. So now he's doing parallel construction here. Similarly, if you take the aggregate of the Ajnana, which is existing in all of the jivas, you take all of the whole Ajnana together, that is that Ajnana that is found individually in every jiva, if you take the collective of that Ajnana, then you have the total, you have the Samishti. Okay.
The Samishti what, though?
So you have the Samishti Ajnanam. Remember from before, there are two Ajnanams.
Okay.
Avyeshti Ajnanam and Samishti Ajnanam.
Uh-huh.
Depending upon that Ajnanam is considered as one.
Uh-huh.
That's all he said saying so far. We have a few more verses on this. But he said, so what he's saying so far, this Ajnanam is said to be one or many. Previous verse. This Ajnanam, ignorance, is said to be one or many, depending upon whether you take it from the standpoint of the Samishti, the total whole aggregate, then it's Ekam, you say one Ajnanam, or if you take it in terms of the Vyeshti, all of the individual aggregates. So you have Ajnanam, you have Ajnanam, you have Ajnanam, you have, there's Aneka, I mean there's 15 Aneka, there's 15 Ajnanams here, there's more than one. But if you take it from the Samishti, the total Ajnana, right, that is only one.
But I have a problem with this, and I'll tell you what it is. Because I thought it was only from the perspective of the jiva that there's the covering of Ajnana, whereas from the perspective of the total, there is not the covering of Ajnana.
That's why we have to go further.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's true what you say. From the jiva, there's avarna vikshepa. I'm adding that now. That we haven't gotten to any of that yet. But we can call what I was. So this is what I was adding. Some things. What I was adding is that sometimes Maya itself is called as Ajnanam. Right. If we're calling Maya as Ajnanam, right, then the Maya Upadhi is the Ishwara Upadhi. That Ajnanam, right, is the Samishti Ajnanam, which is really the Maya Upadhi and is only going to, in its projection, there will only be Vikshepa there because Ishwara is not subject to the covering.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the Ajnanam from the standpoint of the Jiva, right, is subject to that covering.
Yeah.
So usually instead of calling the Maya Upadhi the Samishti Ajnanam, we just say the Maya Upadhi and Ajnanam.
Yeah.
But you have to understand that we're talking about the same thing, but like two sides of the same coin. From Ishwara's standpoint, the whole creation exists in me. It is my projection. Right? I am the whole. I am the Samishti Upadhi. Like that's why I use the imagination example. If you have an imagination, I am the whole imagination. But from the standpoint of everything in the imagination, it's the same Maya. It's exactly the same stuff. So it's the same Maya, it's the same Ajnana, whatever. But right? So from the standpoint of anything within it, they are subject to that Maya.
Yeah.
They are themselves a product. And because they're a product, they are still the Maya Upadhi, but they're a product. And so forth. From the standpoint of the individual, that Maya has both Avarna and Vikshepa. Right? It both covers the Atma, it covers the self, right? And it also has the capacity of projection. Or you can say like this. From Ishwara's standpoint, there's the Vikshepa, there's projection. Clear for everybody? Creation, the Maya Upadhi, the Ajnana Upadhi projects as this creation. But Ishwara has no Avarna. From Ishwara, it's Sarvajnatvam, as we'll see as we're going on here. There's Sarvajnatvam, there's all knowledge, there's Sarvajnatvam, our particular knowledge. All of the capacities of being the whole are there for Ishwara. So the Maya Upadhi just projects. That projection is called Vikshepa. Now, all of the jivas within that creation, because they are also Maya, they're nothing but Maya, they also, from their own standpoint, are little Ishwaras, right? Because they can also project, you know, but instead of having sarvajnyatvam, all knowledge, they have alpajnyatvam. They have limited knowledge.
So that's a difference in experience.
And yeah, but they're still, now we're just looking at the vikshepa aspect. Ishwara projects the whole creation, the Maya Upadhi, and all the jivas within the creation have a limited Ishwaratvam, in a sense. The jivatvam is a very limited Ishwaratvam. It's pratibhasika. It's subjective Ishwaratvam, in a sense. That's why you have Ishwara's complete knowledge, you know, sarvajnya's whole, all knowledge. The jiva is opajna, little knowledge, right? Ishwara is sarvavit, knows everything in particular. The jiva knows just a little things, few things in particular. The Ishwara is sarva shaktiman, has all power, all capacity. The jiva is opa shaktiman, limited capacity, limited ability, right? Limited power. Ishwara projects the whole creation. You project your subjective creations. You still project, but you don't project the whole creation of which you're a part. You project your projections, your imaginations, your dreams. You know, all of this is Maya. You have Maya Shakti, but it's limited. See that? Because it's the same Maya. Maya has this capacity, and so it's everything that Ishwara has, you have in a limited way. But that limitation, because it is limited, because your mind and sense organs are only looking outward for it, in a sense, they are within the creation experiencing it, right? Because they're within, they're a part of the whole, they have no way of being the whole creation, of having limitless knowledge. If they have limitless knowledge, there's no problem, then you're Ishwara. You have limited knowledge. Because of that limited knowledge that is born of sense perception, really, everything that you know is going to have inbuilt ajnanam, right? Self-ajnanam. Right? And even as a jiva, you go on collecting knowledge, right? You go on replacing your ignorance, you know, displacing your ignorance with knowledge. Well, in saying, you need vritti jnanam to remove the ignorance of the self. Just like you go on removing ignorance of objects in the creation by using a pramana, you remove that ignorance. You need to remove the self-ignorance through the use of a pramana.
But the jiva has an ego that can tag incorrectly as the self. Ishwara doesn't have an ego like that, but there's no self to incorrectly tag it to, right?
There's no ahankara like that. Right. You have to remember that the upadhi is limitless. So mm-hmm. all it is all the upadhi itself, the Maya upadhi, is all knowledge. So there's nothing to be known, because everything is known.
But there's also then nothing to, you know, like
there's no ignorance at all for there to be an adhyasa, a superimposition.
Because there's a mind in that way, right? I mean, the Ishwara doesn't have a mind in the way that the human being has a mind that can say, oh, my mind is I.
Yeah, because the human being's mind is limited. If you think of Ishwara's mind, we're talking about Hiranyagarbha, mm-hmm. which is just the you can talk about when we say that the universe mm-hmm. is manifest knowledge. That's the term Swamiji is using, mm-hmm. manifest knowledge. The Maya Upadhi, the Prakriti, manifest as this creation. That is manifest knowledge. What would your experience of manifest knowledge be? Like if I ask you to think of a pot or a plate, or imagine a meadow, or imagine the ocean. That's manifest knowledge, where mm-hmm. you're bringing from the unmanifest into manifestation mm-hmm. what you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this creation is manifest knowledge. So if you look at the infinite creation as manifest knowledge, that becomes, like you could say, like an infinite vritti. You can use that. But we say the Maya Upadhi. But if you want to think of it in terms of yourself, if you manifest knowledge from, if I ask you to think of something, then you're bringing into manifestation your knowledge of that. Right? So now what if, as from Ishwara, the projection of the creation, is the manifestation of total knowledge. of infinite knowledge. Right? And so that would be similar, except infinite finite, to your bringing something into, your mind bringing something into manifestation. Just understand what we mean by manifest knowledge. Mm-hmm. Is that problematic for anybody, what I'm saying?
When Ishvara identifies himself as all the upadis, that's done equally, right? Democratically?
Yeah.
That's what's hard to grasp, because
I'm everyone except for you.
Yeah.
No, there's no except for you.
Yeah.
But there's also not thinking involved.
Right.
There's no thinking about involved, because the thought is already manifest. There is nothing to think, because it's an infinite manifestation. Ishvara is an infinite manifestation, so the thought already is. There's no bringing in of another thought. You see what I mean? It's already manifest, already there.
But Ishvara is not really identifying himself as,
He is. There's nobody saying, oh, look, I'm Ishvara.
Yeah.
It's just, it's I am Ishvara. That's the reality.
Yeah.
There's no a necessity for any words, because all of the words, all that is already there. It's already known.
Why is there a necessity for the word Ishvara then? Why not the creation? Why is there a necessity for that word?
Because of you. because of Ajnan, because of being a jiva who differentiates from this creation. Now, if you just say, oh, this is just manifest creation, then you're missing the conscious being, the Purusha. It's just not an inner creation. It's a creation which is a being. Like if you have, for instance, if you have an imagination, you are first and foremost a being.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to say, I am a being. You don't need to walk around saying, I'm a being, I am conscious. You are a being, you are consciousness. That's who you are. It doesn't require labeling, because you already are that. And this being that you are, that we call in terms of Ishvara or the Purusha, you are a person, the Sat-Chit. That's what we mean by Purusha, Sat-Chit Ananda. Okay. Now this being that you are manifests because of Maya, manifests infinite knowledge, which is in the form of this whole creation. So this whole creation is Ishvara, is a being. This is me, right? It's not that this creation is an inert creation, then it wouldn't be, if that were the case, then Sat-Chit Purusha wouldn't be the self of it. But this creation is a self, that's why we say Ishvara. You say creation, then you have to show that the creation is Ishvara. Right? Otherwise, you just take the creation to be an inert creation.
Doesn't it sort of imply some, I don't know if it's the right word, but kind of like intelligence, like that it's not just some random...
Right. The whole creation is infinite intelligence,
yeah.
Infinite knowledge. And then, that's why, even in relatively as jivas, we go on and on unfolding, gaining knowledge of the intelligence of this creation, of the structure, of the order of it. Right? So it's all held together in one infinite order. And that's the word that Swamiji uses now so much. The infinite order of the creation on every level, emotional, physical, every... imaginal level.
So it's like one huge imagination then, without the sense of other or of...
Yeah, without one huge, instead of imagination, because we can say that, but think of it, that imagination, as infinite manifest knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Without the sense of there being something else or something other.
There is no other.
There is not.
There's just that infinite whole.
That's
you sure.
Yeah, okay.
There can't be another, because then there has to be somebody else there.
Right. I think the reason I ask the question is that in India, perhaps more so, we just take Ishvara as having human aspects.
Of course, because we make Bhagavan into a deity. You can worship Ishvara as Krishna or as Rama or Shiva. There's so many ways, so many forms to evoke Bhagavan. But when you think about Ishvara's own swarupa, his own swabhava with the Maya Upadhi, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll say, even in the Gita and elsewhere, sometimes it's easier for a person to personify Ishvara. And Bhagavan doesn't mind at all. He says, in whatever form you want to evoke me, I will come to you in that form. Because it's Ishvara. He can come in any form that you want. So whatever your Ishtadevata is, if that's how you're calling on Ishvara, he will come to you in that form.
But where's the possibility of a mistake there or error in personifying...
The mistake, if you want to call it a mistake, it's a benign mistake for a bhakta, is to just think that that form of that personified form of Ishvara is Ishvara, not recognizing
that's a big mistake.
For a devotee, it brings about antakarana shuddhi. You know, so it's a mistake on the right side. In other words, if you still are having a relationship with Bhagawan, and then that relationship, Bhagawan himself will take care of that. Okay, it's time for you to know me in my true form.
So that's why it gets a benign mistake.
And you can sort of have both going on at the same time. Like, we can have a relationship with Swamiji, and, you know what I mean? I mean, you can have a relationship with an individual aspect of Ishvara.
Yeah, just like we pray to Krishna or Ganesha or Swamiji or whatever, whoever you're evoking. You know what you're doing.
But if you know what you're doing, it's fine. But for the most part, you know.
But most people aren't jnanis, nor do they want to be.
Yeah, I'm a mushu.
They don't want to be. It doesn't make any difference. They still have a relationship with Bhagavan.
And so
the person is, in whatever form you evoke me is fine.
If it's in your prarabdha, I mean, does mamoksha form come within prarabdha?
Well, they'll say when they look at your chart, they'll see moksha. And they can see moksha in the chart. They can also see, certain tendencies for all of that. Whether you actually, manifest that, bring that to fruition, there's free will involved, but they'll see, there's a moksha stand there, and, your chart is very conducive to moksha. I think you'll be taking sannyasa. They see all of that kind of stuff in there. You talk about that.
This sense of other, that seems to be normal. How do you care for that, as a person?
The sense of other, just like in this room, there's a sense of other, and we have a relationship with each other.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there's the knowledge of Ishvara.
Yeah.
At the same time, there's, I can be having a relationship with you and still know that myself is yourself. I can be having individual relationships and still know that we're all Ishvara. It's like that there's that overarching knowledge that encompasses all of the duality that you experience because you have a jiva upadhi. So if you have this upadhi, you're going to be experiencing duality, but that doesn't mean that the duality is not contained, but the vyeshti is, to talk in this way, that it doesn't mean that the vyeshti, the individual, is not contained in the samishti, and it doesn't mean that the samishti, the total aggregate, does not have for its reality Brahman. You know, so all these different levels, none of these different levels of experience contradict the oneness.
So so the covering's not there. I mean, if you have this understanding, then even though there's other, it's not separate.
What they say, we'll get to this later, but what they say like this: for the jnani and for Ishvara, for both, there's sarvajnatvam, as opposed to sarvavit. Sarvajnatvam means all knowledge, but it's the all knowledge in terms of one gold, many cups, many bangles, one water, many waves, one clay, many pots. So for both Ishvara and Jiva, that type of sarvajnatvam is there. I recognize myself as a whole, and this is mitya. That's known for both. What is different is sarvavit. For Ishvara, there's specific knowledge of the whole, particular knowledge, where you know everything within the upadhi itself. The jiva can't have that particularized omniscience, because the upadhi is limited, the mind is limited, where for Ishvara it's not a limited mind. But whether it be a limited mind or the total mind, the satyam mitya is exactly the same, right, for both. The satyam is the same as Brahman, the mityatva, the creation, is the same. So in that way, there's no difference in the knowledge. But in terms of manifest knowledge, then how much manifest knowledge do you know? You only know what comes within your sphere. And then any given thing that comes within in your sphere, you only have limited knowledge of it, right? Because it's there's infinite number of standpoints with which to analyze something. So that way you don't. But in terms of what matters, in terms of the reality, you do know.
So can I ask one quick last question, which is that when we say Ishvara knows, it's only what we mean really is because Ishvara itself is what we call the manifest knowledge. So there's no issue of not knowing, is it?
There's no issue of not knowing. Okay. All is known. Everything is known. Yeah.
So that's like a that's like knownness then.
Even for us, there's knownness, right? Every vritti that you have is known. Right, so we can look at it like that. Every vritti that you have, there's the satyam, there's the satchit of yourself, and there's the vritti which is known. So for Ishvara, there's the same satchit, which is you, and there's the maya upadi, which is known. Right? And so there's what we call an abhimana, which is a sense of identification. There's a sense, not an ahankara, there's a sense of identification in that this whole thing, there is my swarupa. It is my nature, not in any sense of ajnanam, but like if you have, let me put it like this, you have an imagination. The imagination is mithya, is maya, and the whole thing you pervade. The entire imagination you pervade. It's not somebody else's imagination. Any vritti you have, you pervade the entire vritti, it is your vritti, not somebody else's. So now say, and you don't have to say in an ignorant way, oh, this is my vritti, I am the vritti. I don't mean that. But it's your vritti. It's not somebody else's vritti. It is known to you. You pervade it. It's manifest from you, sustained by you, resolves into you. Right? And so it's your being, right? It's mithya, but it's your being, not somebody else's being. So now the whole maya upadi manifests. From Ishvara's standpoint, without words, this is my being. This is my manifestation. I am the one who pervades the whole, and the whole is known, right? Not somebody else, there's nothing else outside of me, there's nobody else knowing it, it comes from me, it's sustained by me, it goes back into me, and that's the experience. So that's what they mean by this manifest knowledge of it, sort of bhagavad form and all that. If we can finish this. So that tad ekatva vyapadeshaha, that designates the oneness tad of that ajnanam, right? Ajam ekam ityadi shrutehe. There is a quote in the Shweta Upanishad called Ajam. It begins with Ajam ekam. Ityadi Shrute, that's from this quote in the Shweta Ashura Upanishad. Actually, this quote, I actually have to unfold the whole quote, which I don't want to do right now, but let me just kind of tell you about it. Aja means also a goat. Aja means aja is a goat, G-O-A-T, a goat, and aja is a female goat. So there's ajam ekam, either one, which is aja, unborn, but here it's feminine, ajam ekam. So what they have is there is a male goat, ajaha ekaha. There's a male goat that is lying by the side of a female goat. Maya. So there's the one male goat, because they're using this aja differently. And in the Shweta Shwetara, there's different verses in this section. One's talking about parrots, one's talking about some other kind of animal. These animals coming together. So there's one female goat, there's one male goat that is lying with and enjoying a female goat. And the female goat, then, being enjoyed by the male goat, gives birth to many that are like herself. In other words, the one maya becomes many. That's the idea. It's just an image, right? It's like a metaphor. So the one goat enjoy the female goat, impregnates the female goat, and she creates many things as herself, so the one becomes many. So this Maya Upadi, this one Ajnanam, becomes many Ajnanams when the Maya is, you know, manifest, gives birth like this. And then it goes on to say something like, but that male goat then recognizing himself, means the jiva, you know, recognizing himself, dumps them, leaves behind the female goat and resolves into the one, something like that. But what they're talking about here is that, yeah, so anyway, this Ajam Akam, right, you start talking about the one female goat, which means also the Maya Upadi, which is also beginningless and unborn. That Maya Upadi, when it manifests, it becomes many. So the one Maya Upadi manifests into many. So you have one Ajnana manifesting into many Ajnanas. So it's an interesting verse. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He dumps, huh?
Leaves her.
Yeah.
Some modern.
Okay. Well, what time is it? Yeah. Why don't we stop there? We'll start on 37 next time. Is that good for everybody?
Yeah. That was a very nice gift to work with.
Okay. Yeah.
She was a real goat.
That goat is one of the deities in Swarupa Bhagavata, and I never understood anything about it, so that is so cool.
Yeah, you can actually look at this. Yeah. I've got this verse here.
Yeah.
Let's just start there. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.